And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Seips. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey, what's up, world?
At DFF underscore Madman and Shane Manila.
Hey, so it's good to have you back on the show, Mike.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I was.
I don't know if you heard, we got a 2-star review.
Oh, yes. You're going to start right with that? Yeah, I did hear that. And I'm going to start giggling right when you say it. So I'm sorry that that guy doesn't like laughing, but whatever. I was away, so I didn't get to be here last week. But this is the only thing that matters is this is the week of the rookie draft, right? Everybody's freaking out. Yes. Everybody's jumping on everybody's podcast. Everybody's talking to everybody about the draft. We've got Bob Harris tonight talking about the draft. So. There's the NFL draft. So, again, I'm going to be out of town again this weekend. I'm going to be in Washington. But where are you guys going to be? Like, what are you guys doing for the draft?
I am. I got a pretty busy night. That Thursday, I'm going to be on with the Dummies, Jake Anderson, and a few other folks on the Dummy Show. I think at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock, and then I'm also going to be on. I'm going to jump on. Our friends over at the Superflex Super Show, John Hogue and James Brain and Stompy, going to jump on that draft show too. Then I got another one.
How did you get all these gigs? Why do these guys want you on their show? What the heck?
Naked pictures.
Yes, man.
Yeah. So basically, what I do is I say, "Hey guys, why don't you have me on your show?" And if you say no, what I'm going to do is send you naked pictures.
Nice. Oh, so the naked pictures are the punishment for not having you on. What are you doing, Jeremy?
I am probably going to lay low this year. A lot of times, we used to in the past get together with friends out and watch the whole first round. This year, not that excited because the Browns don't have a first round pick and, you know, not that invested. I'm still excited about the NFL draft, but my team probably, well, may not pick in the first round unless they trade in. So I'm hanging out here with the kids, my boys and my wife, and just going to watch it at home. But I want to. You know, I just want to – been working a lot lately, want to kick back and – maybe have a couple beers, just take it easy and watch it on the big screen at home and, you know, just take it all in, really. And Shane and I are planning on getting on our Patreon account at some point. He'll probably be too wrapped up and brewed up on Thursday night to do it, but over the weekend, get on and spit some game out there to our patrons and interact a little bit through the patron site with some audio.
That's awesome.
I'm definitely thinking on a Friday night, not Saturday, because I actually have a social engagement for two Saturdays in a row, which is very weird. And then maybe we could hit some Sunday night stuff once the draft is like finished and we've had time to process and before Game of Thrones.
Friday, Saturday for sure. We should get on there. And Mike, you won't be around. Otherwise, you know, you could do it too. We're just going to get on and talk a little bit and drop what we talk about onto the site.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Mike, you're invited onto your show.
Show. Yeah, no, I'm unfortunately, yeah, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. at AwesomeCon. So, hey, anybody in the Washington area. Yeah.
Hey, where are you going to be? Sorry.
At AwesomeCon in Washington. I'm working with my brother doing signing, you know, Beast Boy, all that stuff. So anybody in Washington, come by there. Yeah, this will be the first year I'm not watching it with all my friends from my fantasy league.
I was just going to say that you're not even going to be able to watch most of it because you're tied up at this event. That's all I was saying. That's where I was going. And I'm like, that's a shame, man. Because, like, I can't imagine not being able to at least tune into it.
I'll say this. Out of all the years of missing a rookie draft, this one I'm not that concerned about. So you know, and
it's
moving
like
on,
have it running in the background at least, you know, kind of, okay, they haven't picked yet. Oh, there they go.
I'll have it on my phone, definitely. But you know, for tonight, like I said, we have Bob Harris coming on tonight. And before we get him in here, because I know he's almost ready, we did have a couple news stories, nothing really humongous, but brought to you by rotosurance.com, and go over to rotosurance and enter our code Dynasty Trades HQ. And Shane Yeldon, I know that was the one you were going to talk about.
The biggest news is TJ Yeldon finally signed with someone, and it was the Bills. That's actually a sneaky little
it was
spot
the
for
Bills.
Him. But I mean, it's a sneaky little spot for him. So I was thinking about it, you know, and what I like to do is just imagine how something could play out on the field. LeSean McCoy, I love, but is in his mid to late 40s now. Frank Gore is a white walker and can't really run anymore. Yeldon could find himself in a pretty nice position, especially with Shady constantly going down like he's been shot by a cannon and sometimes not always getting back up. Yeldon might actually have a little value there. Problem is it's just going to be a one-year thing, because then the 2020 draft class, the running backs of doom are going to come and just eviscerate every just mediocre running back in the league.
Yeah, but if you draft somebody, you know that. I like Yeldon for this year too. I like Yeldon, I think, better than average, but I like him there for this season for sure. And like you said, Shady's he's shady. I don't trust putting him in every week like the old days. So heck yeah, man, that's not a bad thing.
I got more big news.
Yeah,
Josh Gordon has signed his tender.
Oh, I thought you were talking about another big. But yeah,
we'll get there. But yeah, Josh Gordon signed his tender, baby, for $2.025 million.
Do you mean by tender his fresh green grass?
No. The Patriots actually tendered him. Wow. Because this is his first taste of free agency, because he's been suspended so much. He's almost 28 years old, which is amazing. Like
1.5 great seasons. And
well, he's only played, I think, 2 total seasons. I don't feel like looking it up. But
yeah, it's barely 2 complete seasons. But, like, you know, he had that one big season, like a half of another. But we remember how good he was, and we just can't let it go.
So he signed his tender with New England. There's noise about somehow he might get reinstated before the season. I don't know how that's possible. But I'll just say right now, if anyone comes sniffing at your Josh Gordon, trade him immediately. Just whatever they offer. I don't even care if they offer to take one of your draft picks. Like, they're like, give me your 4-3 and Josh Gordon. Just do it.
Is there anybody that's had more chances in the NFL than him?
Steve Howell, but that's a different sport.
I said NFL, but yeah, it seems like.
I mean, Greg Little killed a couple people, but that's a whole other chapter.
Jeez. All right, what about the other big news?
Oh, we got big news. Big Ben Roethlisberger, the therapist. Steelers are working on an extension for him. He's 37 years old. I don't like that, because I was kind of hoping he would get brutalized last year and then Mason Rudolph could take over and then James Washington could kind of be the thing there, but I guess big old Ben's going to stick around a couple more seasons, which makes me sad for many, many reasons.
Before we get to our guest tonight with Bob, why don't we hear from the Scouting Academy, especially since this is the rookie time of the year.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
Yeah, the Scouting Academy, man. You know, it'd be great to go to it someday. Maybe Michael Sipes will pay for me, like I've been asking.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, I just know that men of your age usually pay younger men as like a sugar daddy deal, and I don't know why you won't pay for the Scouting Academy for me.
Let's move on to our guest, you know?
More importantly, we have another young gentleman on the show tonight.
Woo-hoo!
Very energetic. Everybody knows him. He is Bob Harris.
Welcome, Bob.
Well, thank you. Weird paths. I mean, I guess it only makes sense that I'm here.
Well, yeah, and it's an exciting time, too, because it's the NFL draft. And I know we were just talking before you came on here that you're going to be heading to the airport, heading to Tennessee.
Yeah, I will be going to Nashville doing the SiriusXM. I think we're about 6 hours a day Thursday, or broadcasting 6 hours a night Thursday and Friday. And then we're doing a live event from Margaritaville on Saturday. So yeah, so we'll be nice. Following along, watching none of the skilled players get drafted until what, day three, I think it is. Yeah, well, only watching the skilled players that are worthwhile in super flex leagues, I guess, is the only skill players we're interested in.
So here's the scary thing. I was invited to go on a mock draft show for, I believe it's like May 7th or something, but whatever. So what I said is, can you imagine the horror for all our rookie drafts if not one running back or wide receiver goes in the first round?
It would be surprising, right? But would it be like the biggest shock you ever had if that's how it played out?
No.
In my years of Dynasty, I think this is either my fourth or fifth. I forget because I'm old. But God, yeah, please. I don't remember that. Well, I mean, relatively speaking.
It was funny, though, because, you know, this week, you know, I think as we headed up the draft, you know, if you have one of your 1,000 television boxes tuned to the NFL Network, you got to watch the first round of every draft, you know, one after the other. And I think, you know, the thing that struck me as I was sitting here, you know, doing other stuff, but kind of had one eye on that is, I mean, you know, the success rate's about 1% on those first round picks. I mean, there's guys that I forgot even existed who I watched get drafted. You're going, oh my God, that's right. Somebody picked that guy. And so, you know, it's something worth keeping in mind.
It is funny when you go back to some of your dynasty leagues, like even on MFL, you could go back and look at some of the rookie drafts that you've had in the past and to look and see who the people were so excited about and if any of them, you know, did anything. There's always just like two or three. So everybody gets so excited about these rookie picks. And at least for dynasty, it's a very small percentage that hit.
It is. And in my case, it's an even smaller percentage. you know, and it's funny because as we lead up to this, you know, I do a fair amount of studying. But, you know, I mean, you know, draftnicking has become such a thing unto itself anymore that, I mean, it's gone wild. It's run amok. It's running amok. It's crazy. I mean, my Twitter feed, just I look at it and it hurts. My Twitter hurts. it's amazing how much goes into the draft. And the thing about it is, you know, when we're, you know, when all is said and done, what are we going to say? 99.1% was worthless, right? I mean, all the speculation, I love it. You know, we all like to, you know, what if and play all that game, but, you know, and that's why I kind of consider the draft, you know, the dropping of the green flag on the fantasy season. Because, you know, everyone has a helmet. I know what they're actually have a chance to do and not, you know, I have a thing in fantasy I call the optimism of the unknown. I don't know how something bad something might be. It might be great then, right? So you kind of carry that around with you, and then you get the harsh realities of where players are going or not going and the realities of the competitions they're facing or the schemes that you wonder if they fit in or not. I mean, all this, you know, all the the happy side, high-end speculation kind of breaks down to reality. And you're going, oh, wow, that's where he went.
Especially more so this year with this rookie class, you know?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think it just seems like, but basically any running backs that get drafted, me and Jeremy talked about this a little bit last week, but any running backs that get drafted in this draft and don't hit immediately are going to be worthless because of the class coming in next year. So this rookie draft is really weird, really, really weird. I'm hopeful that at least A.J. Brown lands in, like, what do you call that place? Indianapolis,
yeah,
maybe with the Eagles.
Yeah. I think there's a handful of receivers, I mean, that I'm, you know, that I am interested in that could go somewhere and almost, you know, almost anywhere. There seems like a lot of holes there to fill. And the tight ends seem pretty obvious, and it's a very deep class, but, you know, the high end of it, you know, expecting those guys to come in and have immediate roles doesn't seem like a huge reach. And so I'm excited about that. But running backs, I'm totally unenthused by. And quarterbacks, I'm not all that enthusiastic about, except Will Greer, who I can't seem to draft in any single league I'm in. It just, he eludes me. It's like,
Really?
It's unbelievable, yes.
You know, it's funny because when you talk about if any of these running backs get drafted, I saw one thing today. Shane, you don't usually like to talk about IDP, but the Chiefs did that big trade with the Seahawks that involved Clark and all that. But one of the things is they traded away their first-round pick. So a lot of people online were saying, oh, so now the Chiefs don't even have a first-round pick, so does that make Damian Williams the de facto number one guy there and everybody's going to like him now? And yeah, and even if they did draft a running back, do you think that would even cause any problems for him?
I think it was the hope that, oh wow, well, Tyreek Hill's not long for this world. Marquise Brown would be great there, you know. And so I can remember, you know, having covered all these drafts for Sirius, you know, as we went through each year, you know, there's a certain players or certain players you think, oh, he's got to go there, right? I mean, I can remember when I thought Duke Johnson had to go to Dallas, you know, and everything seemed to be lining up, and it just, you know, never happened. Obviously, that, you know, they went on to greener pastures anyhow, but you have in your mind as you sit down all these ideal landing spots for all the players you've drafted and all the rookie startups that never materialize ever.
Yeah.
So steal yourselves.
And even if these running backs are no good anyways, I don't think they would affect any of the running backs that we have in these teams. You know, no. Bob, you're in the DFB Invitational with us. And in that league, we actually had our rookie draft last week, you know, prior to what the real NFL draft was. And you had two first round picks in that draft. So when you're talking about the players that you like, I see you took a wide receiver and a quarterback.
Yeah, I saw him come away with Dwayne Haskins, not Will Greer, but he still got that quarterback.
Well, it was a little earlier, and I thought it was possible I might get Greer again. I might have another, you know, swipe at that thing. And I ended up with Ripon.
Ripon, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, but obviously I have a huge need at quarterback as is, so I don't know if either of those guys is going to be too helpful to me right off the bat, although I think it was Haskins just for path to workload or anticipated path to workload.
Yeah.
Which a lot of times in these drafts, I mean, that's what you're hoping for, that he's the guy that goes to a place, you know, whether it's, you know, New York is, you know, the obvious one I'm hoping for. Hell, Cincinnati, I'd be fine with anywhere where there's kind of a semi-clear path. Or Cincinnati, it's the redheaded stepchild or the Red Rocket. You don't know which guy's going to show up any week, and, you know, that might get him booked in. But I thought my first pick, Deebo Samuel's a guy I've been in a lot of mocks I end up with, because I think he's a versatile guy who can fit into a lot of schemes. So drafting before drafts, not knowing where they're going to play, I think he's not an unreasonable pick right about there. Although you could make a really good argument that, you know, going tight end at that spot before you know the landing spots or after is a pretty good outcome for you.
Yeah, we picked right after you at 109 because you had picked 108 and we took Noah Fant at 109.
Yeah, I have a handful of young tight ends, and I think that was the only reason. You know, Ian Thomas is a guy I have a lot of hopes for, and that didn't keep me from, you know, picking Dawson Knox later, by the way. So, I mean, I thought he was a great value as well. So, but yeah, I thought I seriously considered both Fant and Hawkinson right there before I took Samuel.
I know when we took Butler, you seemed to be a little upset.
Yeah, Butler is the guy that I wish I was getting in all these Deebo Samuel drafts. I think a big body, versatile, can play all the spots. And depending on landing spot, I think, you know, and that's what I'm looking for when we're drafting before, you know, the helmets are on. Yeah. I just want guys that are versatile and can maybe plug into multiple systems and play a versatile role. And so Samuel, you know, maybe he contributes as a kick returner. If you're in a league that, you know, has return points, that's something worth noting. But he just seems like a playmaker who can't stay healthy. And, you know, God knows I don't have enough of those on all my rosters.
Nice. Well, Butler's a guy I think, is definitely a risky play. Well, they're all risky, but a player worth taking the risk on just because of what you think he could become.
I mean,
if you're going to take a risk, why not? I mean, he's huge, and maybe he's going to be great. I mean, there's talk of him being there's no mold for him. Like, nobody else is like him. God created him and broke the mold. He's unique. So I thought that was great when the guys wanted to go with him, because why not? Why not swing for the fences on that one?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a Matt Waldmanite. And so, you know, he loves Butler, and one of the reasons is that versatility where he'll fit in a variety of schemes. And I think that is important, drafting before you know the destination.
When you get to Tennessee and you start doing all this stuff for Sirius, are you going to be on, what is that, Radio Row, where all the kids come walking down the thing doing all the interviews? Are you going to be doing that?
No, we don't really do that, or we haven't done it. I mean, it just, ever since they started, you know, doing these things, not in New York and doing them, we've been in Chicago, Philadelphia. We've done it every year. The Dallas. It's more of a, you know, they have a little party town outside, a little tent village, you know.
I like that.
And they throw us out in the tent village. In this case, they're not really doing the same thing. They're just basically turning Broadway into the area for the crowd. Philadelphia did a similar thing in the park they did it in. And so the crowd kind of streamed down between the two rows of tents. In this case, they're going to stream down between two rows of bars. And we'll be actually...
I like it.
You know, the first two nights we'll be in the studio at the Bridgestone Center, which is about 3-4 blocks up the street. So, you know, we can look out the window and see. Saturday we'll be going live at Margaritaville, which is right up, you know, a block from where it's actually at. If you've ever been there, you know, the stadium's on one side of the river. Across the street is kind of Broadway, rolls right up, and all the cool kids hang out there when they go to Nashville. And I was even allowed to walk those streets. And it was
right? Yeah. That's cool, because I was just wondering if you were going to be interviewing any of the kids, because I was going to ask you who you're looking forward to talking to or anything like that.
Mike calls all of us kids, so I didn't know what he was saying at first. Kids. Oh, you mean the players. Sorry.
I've already talked to a couple of them. We try to get a handful of prospects on our Sirius show. On Saturday nights, we've had Travion Williams and Justice Hill, both of whom I thought made good impressions on me. And we'll get some more post-draft, you know, some of the rookies coming in. But Justice Hill in particular seemed to really – both of them really had their – you know, seemed to have it together and had their heads screwed on right. And I guess, you know, that's all you're really looking for in these interviews is, you know, can they communicate some ideas that the audience might find helpful. And we interviewed them. I think both of them were a little closer back after the combine. And so I just wanted to get a feel for their experience at the combine and, you know, who was interested, what they think their skills are, and just kind of try to get a general assessment. We've had some guys that have gone on and played pretty well. Cortland Sutton last year was a really good interview who turned out that, you know, earned a role. You love seeing that, you know, like they're catching a little karma from you even when they're not.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you this, and you don't have to give any names up unless you want to, but have you ever interviewed a player and gone, oh, that guy's going to do horrible in the
You don't have to name the player, but
no. Yeah. But I've interviewed a number of, you know, over the course of years for the magazine, a number of really high-end veterans and, you know, well-known players, and I felt like immediately afterwards I wanted to take a shower. And that was in particular was Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow. I did like back to back. You know, Kellen Winslow was selling me something, or Braylon Edwards was a salesman. Kellen Winslow was. Didn't have much to say. A little bit guarded, I would say. But some man, I've talked to some great players over the course of years. Some of the best players, and that's really been a lot of fun. Some of the best players turn out to really have a good outlook on fantasy and some really interesting takes over the course of time. LaDainian Tomlinson, Sean Alexander, Steve Smith, just to name a few. And Larry Johnson had one of the best takes on fantasy. You know, even for back then. You know, just how he. You know, realized that, you know, he was a Kansas City Chief, but, you know, if you want a Chicago Bear fan to be a Larry Johnson fan or a Philadelphia Eagle fan to be a Larry Johnson fan, fantasy was the route to get there.
It was interesting in those days how many of the players really realized what was happening, you know, with fantasy.
A lot of them did. So I had one interview with Jake Plummer. Where he was, you know, it was set up by his agent. He was driving to his chiropractor. And as soon as he heard I was a fantasy guy, he goes, I'm going to be at the doctor's office in 3 minutes. Let's get it done before I get there. And then he ended up sitting in the parking lot of his chiropractor for like a good hour talking. But yeah, he was not a big fantasy fan. You know, you've got to try to find something to hook him in.
Taking you seriously when you first started that interview.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's the thing, you know, just kind of assume. And honestly, he was a big, you know, I don't give a F about your fantasy football guy as it was. So, you know, had to draw him in. So I went for the Arizona-ASU rivalry approach in that.
Oh, cool, yeah, because he didn't give an F about a lot of things, that Jake Plummer.
No, this is true. Still doesn't.
Well, with any of the kids that are, I know I keep saying kids. Now Jeremy pointed out, I notice it. Is there any that you're hoping shows up better in the first and second round than what people are thinking? Like, are there any of these rookies that are coming out that you hope they get a higher draft than what people expect?
Oh, look, I think, you know, when we look back on it, we'll, you know, the quarterbacks will go higher than we all think they should have. And
yeah, right.
Probably than they should have. I mean, it's a premium position. But, you know, I think at running back, you know, I guess the only guy I'm really interested in that much is Jacobs. After last year's draft, watching, you know, a lot of guys, it just seemed like draft stock was not a determining factor or landing spot or any of these things. You know, it just depends on the situation. And I feel like even as we were drafting the DFB draft, I mean, you know, I had some setbacks at running back, like Tevin Coleman signing the day after I drafted Jerick McKinnon, things like that. Right? So, you know what? It's running back. I mean, by the time November rolls around, somebody none of us ever heard of is going to be the best back in the NFL.
Yep.
At least you have running backs. We forgot about that part, apparently, when we drafted our team. And we make good trade partners because it looks like we have a plethora of quarterbacks. So maybe we send you a quarterback, you send us a running back. We definitely need to talk.
Well, I'm already, you know, getting Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray. Hey, here you go, kid. I don't know. But I think the wide receivers are guys interesting. Miles Boykin, you know, is a guy I'll be watching where he goes. I think guys like A.J. Brown and Samuel and N'Keal Harry, I think these are, you know, Marquise Brown. I think these guys are all kind of locks to have, you know, some kind of roles,
yeah.
You know, fairly certain. I don't know about Metcalf. I'm not sold on that. but I think, you know, a lot of these guys that go later – like Boykin's going to go way late, and I think he's a guy that, you know, may, I don't know. I feel like some of these guys, like in Boykin's case, maybe the Notre Dame curse, the big Notre Dame receiver curse is following him, and you get this negative perception.
And, yeah, and ESB didn't help with that either just recently.
Right, so. Exactly. So, and I think that narrative, those narratives kind of come into play, and for me, it might even with Jacobs a little bit. Okay, I see you, Trent Richardson. I see you, Eddie Lacy. We've played this game before, you know, and I think some of those cases, you know, those kind of, you know, narratives come into play. But in Jacob's case, I'm not really worried. I think he's going to go, you know, he'll be the back that goes early. I think if he went to Oakland, I'd be super happy for him and super happy for my shares of him. And we'll go from there. But I think, you know, with receivers, I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to where some of these guys go. And running back, I'll be paying attention about midway through the season.
Yeah, and we're really close to it. I mean, what's today? Today's Tuesday, so we got two more days. I know.
It is Tuesday.
Yeah, I know, Shane. Yeah, go ahead, Shane. You got a question? Go ahead.
No, just Bob brought up Oakland, and I remember yesterday there was something out of Oakland's bunker since they sent all the scouts home out of fear of sabotage that they were going to do something unexpected. And what I thought was funny was thinking to myself is like, what, they're going to have an actual current draft plan? Because that would be unexpected to me. Bob, you got any idea or any inkling or any thought in the world of what Oakland might actually be doing?
Yeah, I think they might. I think they come out of this draft a little ahead. I think Mike Mayock maybe knows what he's doing. And
yeah.
We'll at least push back on, you know, the Gruden, you know, sure. Excesses maybe. And that, I guess that's the hope. I think what's going to be interesting is when we see what happens with Kyler Murray. I mean, if he's there after the first pick, all bets are off, right? I mean, Gruden loses his mind and, you know, there's somebody's restraining him as he yells for Murray, and it's kind of like Jerry Jones wanting Baker Mayfield. Someone's got to be the adult, you know, and unless that's really their plan. And maybe it is. I just think they have a chance, you know, would love to see a running back and a tight end go to them in that first round. It seems like, you know, that Jared Cook size hole would be a nice fit for, you know, even if the top two don't make it down that far to where they want to pick the tight end, you know, Irv Smith still seems viable. So I'm interested to see what they do. And I'm, you know, I'm not as caught up in the sending everybody home thing. I mean, is it a little weird? I guess. Is it completely weird? No. I mean, you know, if you got a new GM coming in, he's going to hire all his own people. No new GM comes in and fires the staff and brings in his own guys after those guys have been grinding on the draft since the day after the last draft, right? You have them come in, finish their job, then you send them home and tell them they're getting fired. And these guys probably all know that. And so, you know, if there's a little additional layer of paranoia, so, you know, maybe that's, you know, explains, you know, sending them home when they did. But, you know, they were all gone anyway. So I'm not sure, right. You know, I'm not sure what keeping them around was really going to accomplish.
Exactly. They did their work. They were paid for it. They turned in their work, and you know they're going to make decisions based on that stuff. So
yeah, if you didn't see it, and anyone listening, if you didn't catch it, Jenny Vrentis at SI.com had a great article out this morning, some of the behind the scenes stuff that goes on in terms of information, how the teams are gleaning information, how they're using reporters to disseminate real and false information. Things like that, and you know, touch base on this subject about how the Raiders are handling things right now. But I guess you know the team that we're all you know need to find out how they're going to handle it is Arizona. And I got to admit, you know, when this first turned into a thing, you know, wow, they hired this guy, and he said this 3 months ago before he knew he was getting hired the day before he was playing this guy, and thinking, man, this all seems really tenuous to me. And, you know, now I'm totally invested. Of course, that's what they were doing. They were hired. They were drafting this coach who couldn't win in college to coach this quarterback who's 5'10". And they're going to give up on the quarterback they traded up to get last year. And all these things. Yes, I'm buying all this. So if I'm buying all this, my first question is, how the hell does Steve Keim still have a job? I mean, you know, what's your job as a general manager? Get a coach and a quarterback. Boom. Two big whiffs. Not to mention the fact he was sitting on the sidelines last August following a DUI incident. So he was suspended. So at a time when they could have used the GM around to maybe, you know, shore up an offensive line that it turns out Josh Rosen might have needed late in the season.
Yeah, you think? It's garbage.
So it just – this all seems like a huge reach if it's what happens. But, you know, would it shock me, surprise me even? No. I mean, I think right now, I think it's what's going to happen. I think they're going to draft Kyler Murray, and Josh Rosen will be playing for someone else. And Josh Rosen will be going on to be a very good quarterback from someone, or a very serviceable quarterback. And we'll see what happens with Kyler Murray, because playing in Arizona is not going to be easy.
Do you think it'll happen in the next day or so before the draft? I mean, Rosen, we're 2 days away. What's going to...
Yeah, I don't... my feeling is it'll be... night of the draft thing, you know, Thursday night thing. You know, maybe everything comes together at once, or everything gets announced at once. Maybe it's decided beforehand.
Yeah.
But it seems odd to me that the Giants don't seem all that keen on getting a quarterback. You know, I mean, maybe they are and they're hiding it. I don't know. Dave Gettleman, you know, is an interesting character. But and maybe Washington, you know, seems like a reasonable landing spot, although they're making a lot more noise about drafting guys. So I don't think we're going to know any of this until, you know, just before you and all the Schefters and Rappaports start whispering in our ears in the few minutes right before it happens.
Well, one thing I was going to say a few minutes ago is we did have a trade that Shane wanted to discuss that actually involved rookie players that haven't been drafted yet. His mic is muted, so Shane?
That's not true. You actually had me on mute.
I didn't do it. But yeah,
I got a trade alert.
Yes.
That's what you were talking about, huh?
Yes.
Well, one's actually a, what do you call those people? He's in college, so he's a Devy player.
What's the trade? Because I was offered the same player, David Montgomery, and I turned it down, but you made the trade, and I'm not surprised, but what is it?
Whatever to you. So the trade was, I traded away Jake Fromm for David Montgomery.
Well,
and a super flex kitchen sink.
I would probably do that. I would probably take a chance with Montgomery. I mean, look, I think you could argue he's certainly in the, you know, the top three there, I guess.
I like him. Yeah.
And he does a lot of things that Jacobs can do, except he's a little more quieter and maybe he's a little more of a playmaker, you know, you could argue. So yeah, I think I would have done that trade, honestly. Fromm doesn't light my fuse.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have done it definitely because, like I've said on the show before, I don't care about a player that's not in the NFL for another couple of years. And who knows what will happen with David Montgomery. And maybe in 2 days, all of a sudden, that'll be an amazing trade, or it'll be a
when
really
David
horrible
Montgomery
trade.
David Montgomery gets drafted in the first round.
That's
the
what
Bucks.
I'm saying.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
The fact that you gave up, you were the one who drafted in this dispersal from, got a couple of Devy quarterbacks, right? Because you had Justin Herbert and Fromm. I would much rather part with Jake Fromm than the over $200 of rookie bucks that guy wanted to trade me, get
no,
from me
yeah,
for
no,
Montgomery.
Man.
I was like, yeah, no, nah.
Yeah, if he would have came for Justin Herbert, that wasn't happening.
Yeah, that would not work for me. But I think this is a fine trade. And look, I mean, Montgomery at the second half of the season. I mean, you think back to some of the you know, I don't care where he gets drafted, and I don't really care the destination if he's a good fit for, as long as he's a good fit for the scheme. And, you know, we've seen it from guys like, you know, Jordan Howard in Chicago his first year, right? A guy that kind of languished or really didn't make an impact, then all of a sudden down the stretch you have this thundering herd of rookie running backs who kind of show up. So I would like to think he'll be part of that thundering herd.
Do you have anything to do with any kind of Devi leagues, Bob?
No, none, zero. Look, it's hard for me to, you know, just the workload during the season, the focus is 100% on NFL, right?
Sure.
And I mean, I like one college team, and it's the Arizona Wildcats, and it pains me greatly to say that. But I mean, and I'll have their game on every week, but that's really the only game I'll have on any given week. You know, it's just, and I'm not really paying attention to it. I'm just, you know, cursing when I look at the scoreboard mostly. So, so I'm just not that guy. And again, you know, even, you know, in Dynasty, even like in the leagues we're playing, the league we're playing in, the DFB league, I mean, I'm taking a lot of my knowledge on rookies from people who actually spend the time, you know, grinding the tape and doing those things. That's not my, I'm not a draft Nick. I'm an opportunity Nick. And I'm waiting to see where they land and what the possibilities are. And then I'm taking the information I'm getting from the draft Nicks and combining it with what I know of the situation. And that's kind of what I'm, you know, that's pretty much how my process works on this.
Did you enjoy the startup draft and the rookie draft? I mean,
no.
What could you say about it? No.
No. Look, so, you know, I've been in this business like 27th years or something like this. And, you know, pretty much all I play in are industry leagues. And every draft is a miserable slog because you're drafting with you guys. You're drafting with Evan Silva. You're drafting with Scott Barrett. I mean, there is no free pass. Part of that, you know, part of that is unless you're drafting with J.J. Zacharyson, you know, you can take a quarterback whenever. But beyond that, I mean, it's just a tough slog. And so, no, I do enjoy it. I enjoy the competition. But, you know, the snipage that goes on in these drafts, and I mean, it's in every draft, but in these in particular, you know, guys know that, you know, you're going to have to reach a little bit. If there's a guy you like, somebody else likes him too.
Yes.
And, you know, you find yourself reaching. And it's like being in drafts with my serious co-host, Mike Dempsey. Look, we talk on the radio 12 hours a week. Well, I'm in a draft with him. He knows exactly what I'm going to do, and I know exactly what he's going to do. And I'm sure you guys have that same thing when you're drafting against each other. It's just, you know, so, and look, I've been drafting against Evan Silva and Matthew Berry and those guys for 100 years, it seems like, because the beatings I take have been epic. So, you know, that's part of it. But, yeah, it's fun and it's hard. And for me, and I was out of the country for a couple weeks, and Dempsey jumped in, so – it was hard to keep the continuity of strategy. I thought the startup draft went mostly as I expected, though, other than my initial panic at how fast quarterbacks were going off.
Yeah, they went off really fast.
It is interesting, too, that Jeremy asked you that, because I was going to ask you. I noticed that you actually – you only made one trade, and it was that, like, first day you traded, like, in the second round moving. But you never made any other trades the whole draft. Was that purposeful?
Yes, it is. So, something I try to preach in fantasy football is, you know, divorce your emotion, you know, from your process. And so that first trade was based on emotion, right?
Yeah.
So I don't take my own advice hardly ever. Well, I'll always do something. And so I just realized, man, that was a little bit of a panic move there. Back off. And so I had plenty of offers, and I was talking to people throughout about various trades. I just felt like, you know, again, in these leagues, nobody's, you know, you're not going to gain anything, right? You're not gaining any edges. So, I mean, I thought there were a lot of trades that were fair that went back and forth. And everyone who made offers was making very fair offers, right? Yeah. It's just, you know, kind of I want a little more, they want a little more. So just nothing worked out. So there were plenty of talks, just no results.
We actually made a lot of trades, but it's interesting. If the three of us hadn't been co-owning, I would have probably only made a couple of trades the whole draft. That's typical for me in a startup draft. I'll maybe make one or two trades, big ones when I strategically, I guess I want to say. But it was you say you play in the leagues in the past with Matthew Berry and these characters, but I'll be honest with you, I almost made like a really terrible trade because it was Matthew Berry asking me to trade.
He sent
an offer, and I was like, "Oh, it's Matthew Berry, guys. We have to do this."
Yeah, and Shane and I were like, "No, no."
So my terrible trade was with Matthew Berry, but it wasn't, you know, look, it could have been worse, but there were like a number of certain number of quarterbacks that I felt like I needed one of.
Right.
And I felt like I was going to lose out on one of them because I had already lost out on some previous to that. So I made that move knowing, you know, it was knowing that it was a little bit of an edge to him, but I really got what I wanted. So I was pretty happy with it. But it was kind of an emotional thing. Look, I really want this guy, so I need to make that move. And I wanted to get the quarterbacks I wanted. I wanted Deshaun Watson, Andrew Luck were at the top of my board. Andrew Luck is the one I ended up with, thankfully. You know, guy with a great offensive line, sturdy build, apparently a rejuvenated magical shoulder.
Yeah, I don't know what they did to that thing.
Yeah, whatever it is, I want some.
It works, yeah.
It is funny, too, because with these drafts
I know what
that
they
we
did.
Oh, what'd they do?
Did anyone ever see that South Park episode?
No, which one?
Reeves?
Oh.
No? Okay. it's offensive, so I don't want to get into it, but if people want to Google it, go for it.
Yeah, it is funny what Jeremy said, though, because in a lot of the startups that we do, Shane and I do a lot of trades back and forth, not with each other, but with everybody and with each other in startups. But you're right, Jeremy pretty much holds back a little bit in some of those trades. So what he said was correct.
I really hold back. I just don't feel the need to trade in startups a lot when you can draft well from any position.
Right. Well, sure. And I know what you're doing. Yeah, and I didn't mean to say you hold back like you're afraid or anything. I'm just saying you just said if it wasn't the three of us working together, there probably wouldn't have been as many trades, you know?
Which is interesting to me.
Yeah,
I feel like, you know, on a number of the trades that I was close on, it was, you know, it was really just a matter of, like, I wanted two picks higher, right? I mean, it was that close. And I mean, so, you know, if I'm not getting exactly what I want, they're getting what they want. I'm not really all that keen on doing it. and that's kind of how it ended up. Well, a lot of talks. Look, I mean, you know, you're talking to Jeff Collins. I mean, I've been playing against him for a while before he was a kabillionaire. And he, you know, he was always an interesting guy to me watching him draft. I always loved his approach just in standard, you know, season-long drafts and stuff. And in this draft was no different. But in dealing with him, you know, he's a shrewd customer. And, you know, so I'm just thinking, well, why do I want to give him anything?
Right.
He's already got, you know, all the money on earth. He's going to beat my ass with this. So if I do anything with him. So that was kind of, you know, that's one of the things is, you know, yeah, I see upside and but unless I get exactly what I want, I'm not eager to help anyone out.
Well, I'll say this, you know, with that league, we're done with the startup and we're done with the rookie draft. So the next thing that happens is the season. So in the future, we hope you come on here and we'll talk about what's going on in that league.
Maybe with us before the other guys.
Yeah, or maybe when we play each other, you know. But listen, we really appreciate you coming on this week. I know everything's so busy with the real NFL draft and with you getting out of town. And, you know, we really appreciate that you jumped in with us and talked with us for a while. Do you want to tell everybody like some more stuff about Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or are you good?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Sirius 210 XM 87. We'll be broadcasting live from the Bridgestone Center on Thursday and Friday night, and it's a cast of like thousands. There's like all of us are there. So I think, you know, that. And then Saturday we'll be broadcasting live, I think, from noon until 5 Eastern time from Margaritaville. And it'll be all the usual guys. Lisa Ann will be there too. So it'll be a big party. So if anyone's in Nashville, head for Margaritaville on Saturday and we'll all be hanging out there having a good time. Beyond that, you can see me on the Twitter at Football Diehard. I don't really say that much, but I pay attention to what you're saying.
Well, I will say this. Next year in Vegas, we will all hang out for the draft in Vegas. So thank you very much, Bob. We really appreciate you coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, and before you go real quick, I wanted to say, Bob, that trade you made with Matthew Berry, that's a testament to people who start out in Dynasty, the amicable trade where everybody gives a little bit and you're not robbing someone. You're not like you selling a used car to someone for a price that's way too high, and you're not robbing somebody. You made that amicable deal with – you probably both won because you got what you want. You both got your cookies, whatever. I'm just saying, like, that's the way – you know, that's the way it's got to be sometimes.
We did. I just wanted my cookie a little too much. And that was the thing, you know, honestly, it was like an exchange of about two texts. He texted me, I texted back, set it up, and it was done. And because we both really did, he really wanted to make that move and get the guy he got. And I really wanted to get the guy I got. So, you know, whether I paid a little bit too much, I will totally forget about in the middle of next year when I'm dominating everybody.
That's right.
That'll be awesome. So, all right, great. Thanks again, Bob. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep, you're the man, Bob. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was what, Bob's second appearance on the show?
Yes. Yeah.
So Bob is now in a 14-way tie for the most appearances on our show, I believe.
Yeah, Bob's a great
second
guy.
Most.
Yeah, he's second awesome.
Most, yeah.
I'm glad he could come in. So I know you said there was still a trash trade offer.
We got a trash trade offer. Someone shared it from the Twitter box with us.
Yeah.
Eric Shea, also known as Dynasty Iraq, E-R-A-C-K. Probably uh-huh. pronounced that wrong, but whatever.
No, know, that's right. Iraq.
Iraq. Yeah. So on the one side, there is Robert Woods, Patrick Mahomes, and then a 2019 second round and third round pick that don't have actual numbers attached to them, which shows me that commissioner has not turned that league over yet, which is in and of itself disgusting because it's April 23rd. How have you not switched to the 2019 MFL yet?
That's weird. Yeah.
That's disconcerting, first of all.
Yeah.
I just noticed that now. That's a horrible problem. Anyway, on the other side, Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, David Njoku, Baker Mayfield, 2019 first, 108. And a 2019 first, 107. Now, somehow,
I swear
those 2019s.
I got an offer like this recently for my Patrick Mahomes, though. But yeah, man, that's crap.
Wait, so which side is crap? I'm going to say Robert Woods, Patrick Mahomes.
I was going to say that too. Yes. Yeah, I'd say the Mahomes side
is
crap.
Obviously, that side. I'm saying I got a trade like that too, but it was just the reverse for my Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, because I got to be honest with you. Jesus, Christmas. Keenan Allen, Mike Evans. David Njoku, Baker Mayfield, and 1-7 and the 1-8. That's I would say that is ambitious.
Ambitious.
So I don't even know if I want to call this a trash dynasty trade alert. Wait, that's not even the correct hashtag, first of all.
I was going to say, yes.
Call it that. It's actually hashtag trash dynasty trade offer.
Uh-huh. Just like the t-shirt.
You can get that t-shirt that I own at the HQ store, the Envy store, which I don't know the link to, but what do you think?
It's DT
being the brilliant inventor of the hashtag trash dynasty trade offer that you'd at least freaking remember it. T-shirts for you at the store. I mean, you can't remember that.
I own one of them, and typically I wear the shirt when we're taping. See, I didn't tonight, and that was my mistake.
Just look at it. Yeah.
Dynasty trades. Wearing that shirt either.
No, but I'm wearing the 3/4 sleeve shirt. I love this shirt.
That is that is sexy.
Yeah.
But so I'm going to actually come up with a new hashtag. This is hashtag overly ambitious. Patrick Mahomes just isn't worth that much trade offer.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to fly on Twitter. But
there's 240 characters, right?
But if you do want to go to our store is at dthq.storeenvy.com, and you can get those shirts and a couple other things, right, Jeremy? I know you designed some things there.
Oh, yeah. We have a slew of products out there, like seriously for any age group, from toddlers all the way up to full-grown men and women. Yeah, check it out. Tights, mostly for women, not men. Although we have some friends that probably would wear those tights.
I was going to say, it could be for men, too. Men could wear tights.
I don't care.
But yeah, everything, man. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies. The most popular things, t-shirts, the 3/4 length baseball shirts. Hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats. So, but yeah, get out there and buy something. Stuff's great.
Buy everything. That's what I say. Screw something. Go buy like several things.
Pretend
and
it's
also,
Christmas.
Yeah, don't forget, once we hit that 100 iTunes reviews, we're going to be giving away a t-shirt of someone's choice. All they got to do is just send us a picture of their iTunes review. Hopefully it won't be another 2-star because I don't know that I could take it. I might have to give up the podcasting game at that point.
Oh, shush.
But yeah, take a picture of you giving us, you don't have to tape you giving us a 5-star. Just send us the 5-star screenshot and review. You know, whatever you hate about the show, whether it's me, what you love, maybe it's Jeremy and his unabashed love for the Cleveland Browns.
Not compared to the unabashed love you have for the Eagles.
Maybe you just love old people because they're cute and cuddly. So maybe you like Sipes. I don't know.
Well, right now.
One piece of news I forgot. A couple people have pointed this out. So, you know, it's voluntary OTAs this week. or whatever they call them nowadays.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Le'Veon didn't show up.
Yeah, big, great way
Force
to
of
make a
habit.
first impression, you know?
It's force of habit, you know what I mean? It's just what he does, and he assumes there's, I think he thinks if he shows up to any non-mandated minicamp, that it means he signed a tender offer. I don't think he understands that
He's a
you just go
douche.
to those.
He's just a douche. Whatever. Who cares?
He's not a douche.
Yes,
Whatever.
He
It's
is.
His time. You don't get paid for him.
Yeah.
The union bargained that in their contracts.
Whatever.
But
so,
I do think it's funny that he's not there, because if anyone should have gone to OTAs, it's probably him.
Didn't Odell Beckham not show up for the Browns one too, Jeremy?
I don't know, man. Odell Beckham Jr. does whatever he wants. I think he's got like a long leash or something.
Yeah, but I heard today
I'm
that
sure it, there's a good reason for it.
I heard that it was Bell and ODB that didn't show up. So,
Man, I'll be honest, dude. I was too busy today to pay attention to much football. Did he really not show up for that?
That's what I heard on no, I'm not kidding. I heard it on Sirius. So,
Yeah, I didn't see that. I just saw. Like I said, I definitely know that Lev Bell didn't show up, but I just that's pretty funny.
So
that
Shane,
doesn't surprise me.
So Shane, you want to tell everybody about the Patreon account before we wrap it up?
Well, of course I want to tell everyone about the Patreon account. If you're not a patron yet, basically what you're saying is that you hate all three of us. You probably have a little self-loathing going on too. So therapy is one option, but the better option and cheaper option is to become a patron. We have several tiers. I'd recommend starting off at the $5 level. Again, and get yourself the bonus podcast like we're about to tape now. Get one of those every week. You're also going to get a bonus one this week. So this is a great week to start with me and Jeremy and I's review of the NFL draft and whatnot. Get written content. You get the uncensored version of this show. You get the group me chat. You get the love, undying devotion of the three of us. So that's pretty good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So go on Patreon, something or another, and then look us up, Dynasty Trades HQ, all one word because we're illiterate. And go ahead and become a patron. That's my advice to you.
That'll be awesome. And check out our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com, and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Trades HQ. And I did just look it up, and it does say Odell Beckham, no show at today's mini camp for the Browns. So I thought
hold
I,
out.
Yeah, I thought I heard it today. I thought I heard that today on the radio. So, but
shut up, Mike. Don't try to kill my buzz on the Browns. With
I'm
your
not
dramatic stuff.
I'm not doing shit. He mentioned Bell, so I mentioned Odell Beckham. So,
whatever,
all right,
it don't matter.
Guys, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace out.
Everyone, take care of yourself and love one another, and have fun watching the draft. And listen, there'll be another one next year. So if your team screws it up this year, there's always next year.
And next year's will be way more fun.